So because the universe, in my opinion, and what I teach, its only objective is for us to grow into that authentic, powerful, whole self and project from that state of being, it's always constantly sending us things into our life to mirror where we're small.
Welcome to The Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it.
I don't know about you, but I've been loving this Mercury retrograde in Scorpio. I personally have Pluto Scorpio in the third house. So this is definitely affecting me on many layers in a really, really powerful way. Many of you know, blah, blah, blah. I've been talking about the bed rest. You can see I still have shadow because I can't even be cool with it. And it's so funny because we shifted my schedule to where I would only work in the mornings 2 days a week, you know, take all the calls and meetings and shoots. And somehow I still am managing to fill up my schedule. And it's been really, really challenging to fully rest. And yesterday I had this point where I came home and I just had a breakdown, like a full-blown breakdown because I was so exhausted. I woke up tired, more tired than I had when I went to sleep, which is, you know, such a common thing with adrenal burnout. And I found myself on the floor in my, you know, dressing room area, just on my yoga mat, crying. And it's funny because I could feel it percolating for 3 or 4 days. I love full-blown releases. You know, I had been around Max every night and I just didn't have that space and time to myself to have that full breakdown release. And even I got home yesterday, I went on a tiny walk with my girlfriends who are in Topanga, and I got home and I'm like, why do I feel like I want to cry? And then I was like, I need some self-care. Like something needs to happen. And I went to go to my facialist, Tess. Many of you know about her. I've been using her for a year. She's my microcurrent facialist. She has a studio on Abbot Kinney in Venice. And it's just like the perfect reprieve from everything. She's a Taurus. She's so loving and nurturing. And her studio space is unbelievable. And I get in there and she has like the biomat's perfect for me on the bed. She has peppermint tea waiting for me and these beautiful ceramics that she's had handmade. And, you know, we kind of caught up a little bit. And like 20 minutes in, I just closed my eyes and I had such a deep rest on the biomat. Because I don't know if you know, but microcurrent, not only do I think it's like the most anti-aging thing you can do, her sister Sadie, who is also, they run the company together. It's called Take Care. And Sadie became very famous, you know, very young in New York because she does all of the basically Victoria's Secret models facials. And if you see Sadie, she's in her 40s and she literally looks like she's late 20s. So I was like, whatever you're doing with microcurrent, I'm going to be doing that, especially because I had accelerated aging due to these endocrine issues. So I go there and I have the deepest, deepest rest. And so with microcurrent, if you don't know, yes, it's really, really helping, you know, lift any atrophy and stuff in your face and strengthen your muscle. It's kind of like a workout for your face, but it also completely puts you into parasympathetic in your nervous system. And then being on the biomat just deepened that. And I woke up and I was like, oh, this feels so refreshing. And then I got home and I did all these calls and blah, blah, blah. And I ended up finally in the evening being like, I just need to cry. Like, what's going on here? And I had this breakdown on my mat. And as I'm there having this breakdown, you know, in yoga, this is a tangent where the poses, I mean, I've been doing yoga since I was in my young 20s. And, you know, the headstands, the handstands. It's all about getting a different perspective. Even in Kundalini, when you do certain things, it's about getting a different perspective. And I truthfully never, even in Downward Dog and stuff, I don't get that. But I was lying down and looking up kind of through the window in the oak trees in a direction I had never looked, having a cry, like a deep, deep cry. And I was like, whoa, this is a different perspective. And it was great because as I was there, I had never been in that spot looking, you know, so this is a new thing for your brain. So I kind of did some of my conscious neuroplasticity stuff while I was doing it. But what became very, very clear, just so in alignment with me personally in the Scorpio Mercury retrograde, hitting my Pluto in my third house. And many of you, I think, can relate, whatever, however it's hitting your chart, but I'm going through a metamorphosis. I've gone through three cycles of this that I can remember just within the last 7 years. And it's a little bit different, the energetics of a metamorphosis versus a rock bottom. I think a rock bottom can feel like a metamorphosis, but what's going on energetically when you're having a rock bottom, as many of you know who have done the up-level workshop within the pathway, a rock bottom is like a very quick earthquake in your life. It like swipes your feet out from under you, makes your whole world turn upside down in order for you, because something you've been calling in is very close to you and you're not growing your self-worth quick enough to align with it. That's a rock bottom. A metamorphosis is a little bit different because it's basically the caterpillar. You're shedding, you're going into a cocoon, you're shedding this old version of you. Everything you might have identified with that's no longer serving you is being forced to fall away. And so I didn't quite understand that that's what's been happening, because during this whole bed rest healing process, like navigating how I show up in the company during this process, I've been having so many shadows hit. You know, I can't work out. So there's a lot of physical body stuff coming up because, you know, I was a model and an actress and programmed throughout life. You know, my mom's side of the family, we've all been validated for being beautiful. That's been the main validation, never intelligence really or accolade, anything like that. So I'm having to face that shedding. And then also, I'm realizing I'm having to truly say no, and I'm having to walk my walk even stronger of the stuff that I teach, because as many of you heard in the Dr. Nicole, the holistic psychologist episode, is that I have a really hard time through my codependency still when I have to decline something or say no, give the full-blown, true reason why, rather than sugarcoating it to make sure that their feelings aren't hurt or they feel okay. We talked about that a little bit. And right now I'm being super forced to face full honesty when I tell. And I'm sitting there, you know, having a cry and looking at all of these things that are shedding and going, holy shit, the things that I have to get very clear on right now is being so honest and clear in my no and being super okay if that person isn't in my life at the end of it, or if they're going to fall off and shed with this metamorphosis. So that's a big thing. And then the forcing. What I mean by that, that forcing energy a lot of you can identify with, especially when you're manifesting, it's like, get up, go, do, you know. And so when I look at things in the company as a great example, everything's growing. It's all growing and like getting better and better and doing better. Things are like all up by 20% or 10% or, you know, engagement, listens, views, downloads, all the stuff. And I realize anything that feels like forcing in my day, I have to stop. So there's some really, really pivotal things that I'm being faced with right now of. And I believe when I've gone through my metamorphosis in the past, the different cycles of them, and a great example of one that I've talked about openly is when I was holistic chefing, I had the blog, and all of my resources ran dry. And I kept getting the message that's like, you have to put manifestation out there. You have a message that's different than anybody else. It's its own thing. You have to do this to serve the planet. And I had so much shadows. Like, there is no fucking way anybody from high school. I'm like thinking of my cowboy dad. I'm like, there is no way I can do that. And the universe sucked everything dry and was like, you're going to be forced to do that. And I had to go through a metamorphosis. My best friends can remember, I went through like a month of not hanging out, talking to, I cocooned and I had to prepare for this next version of myself. And I've done that multiple times. And now I feel like I'm being faced with that to really step into a deep level of authenticity. And I'm being forced to become utterly honest in my no's and boundaries, which it's hard, but I'm at such a breaking point. Like I'm pushed to such exhaustion that there's just no other way. I can't care anymore. I'm also being forced to no longer force. So, you know, if we feel like, got to get this workshop out at this time or blah, you know, all the things we have in motion, I'm literally at exhaustion where it has to be like, meh, if I can't, we can't. You know, if it's 2 months later, it's 2 months later. So that forcing, that perfectionism, that control is the biggest thing that comes up for that. And just, yeah, it's a metamorphosis. So I share that really openly. I imagine there will be at some point some work around a metamorphosis because we go through them. We're cyclical beings, right? Even our hair sheds. Like we go through these deep cycles of shedding. And when you're shedding multiple things at once, you're usually doing it to upgrade into a whole new version of yourself, something you've been calling in, but it's literally a whole new version. So rather than rock bottom that's calling you to up your self-worth rapidly, this is literally you growing into a different version of yourself in order to honestly hold the nervous system of the new life you're going to have. And so I've gone through this a few times, so I'm pretty cool with it, but I want to share that openly for anybody else who might be experiencing either fragment versions of this or overhauls like this, or if this resonates in any way during this, you know, Mercury retrograde Scorpio. I love Scorpio and Pluto energy. Clearly my soul chose to be born on a Pluto line, which is what California, you know, Central California is for me. And it's making me desire even more to potentially have the next house on a Pluto line. It's where my biggest transformations come from. And so I'm really, really embracing and loving this season right now. But I've also, my trust muscle is so strong that I've learned to love the polarity of hardship, pain, the downtime, because I know, like the magic dark, there's really big reward on the other side when we finally align with where we're supposed to be to align with that. So I'm loving this, and I really want to share that openly. Kind of going back to a little note with my dad, you know, how I was really shadowy and afraid to. Also, I do want to say this before I go into that. When I was on my walk yesterday with my girlfriends in Topanga, Danny Beinstein being one of them, I was like, Danny, what is this Scorpio Mercury retrograde all about? And she's like, of course, you know, it's the shadow and you know, I think it's like the you know, lighting the dark on the shadow and the layers of that and, you know, where it hits in your chart. And so if that resonates with you, that shadow's coming up strong, it's just like, embrace this time, do the work, you know. And right now we launched it a couple of weeks ago. You can find a link below. We're all doing a daily reprogramming challenge together. I think the girls even sent out a code for anybody who doesn't have access just to that, the a la carte version. It's $15 off. And so if that's something you want to participate in, now is a perfect time. I talked about this a lot last year. We love to do this challenge November and December and revisit how to manifest the workshop. Those two things are super important this time of year, because anybody who has done the workshop, which teaches you the formula, how to manifest, you know that calling in is the very easy part. So I actually try to encourage this community to make their list in November. And the call in is easy, then do the heavy lifting. So the unblocking, the expanding, and the passing test through the rest of November and December. So you already have that momentum when you go into the new year of January. So for anybody who wants to follow along, we've been sharing a lot of content on all of our platforms about how we're doing this DRE challenge together. Make sure to pop to the link below if you're having, you know, equally as profound or insane and stressful Mercury in retrogrades. But going back to my dad and the shadowiness of not, you know, coming out and doing manifestation. I actually had a call. His Mercury retrograde Scorpio must be hitting him in a really fascinating way because, you know, he's a real cowboy. He's in the, you know, Central California, just really salt of the earth. He's an Aquarian, but has tons of earth in him and he's a generator. And so he actually texted me. I was doing my beach walk and he was like, tell me more about this bean diet you're and so I had to call him because, I mean, this is the guy that used to make fun of me every turn of the way. I mean, I've been eating organic and all of the crunchy things since I was 17. That didn't even exist where I lived. And so I've been made fun of, you know, rebutted, all the things. And we hopped on a call and he was like, Lacey, you have to watch the documentary on Netflix, Game Changer. And I'll be super upfront. I've been everything. I've been vegan, raw vegan, paleo. I've tried everything. And I've certainly watched all of the vegan documentaries when I was heavy into my veganism. I'm pro whatever works for your body, truthfully, and intuitive eating. But I thought this was hilarious. My dad, who is like fought me so hard, he watched this documentary and he's like seriously considering not doing, going more plant-based. And then I ended up seeing my friend Jamie Arrigo, who's a photographer. She came over after and we had like a little tea in bed, like rest time. And she was like, I know her husband ended up, he's seen every vegan documentary with her and he watched it. And we were like, oh, okay. So that's the only thing you need to do to pull in that demographic of people is market that it'll make you ripped. So we were having such a laugh over that. And then my dad like genuinely really wanted to know a lot more about this protocol I'm on. You know, I'm being coached through Unique Hammond, as I've been talking about doing the Care and Herd protocol. And so I was telling him about it and he's like, I want to do this for my inflammation. So I set him up an appointment and I was like, what world am I living in? This is insane. So he must be getting pretty rocked by his Mercury retrograde too, which is amazing. So anybody else, if you're having opposite days, twilight zones, I share all of this so that we can share in this together. An announcement, we are going to be having two episodes air the week of Thanksgiving. So we thought that would be really fun to give you extra content over that holiday weekend for you to digest if you're at home with family or you're bored or you have free time. I started to think about what would I want over that time, or we started to think about that and we thought that would be really cool. So look out for Wednesday. We're going to be releasing a great episode with a dear friend of mine. He gets heavy into like dating and I mean, we get into his like recovery. I mean, it's just such a great and enthralling episode. And he is a founder. He's an entrepreneur, super cool. He's become very successful and he's just really real and just got engaged with his lady. So I think he'll be very expansive for many people out there that are looking for partnership and sick of the whole annoying dating scene or have been in recovery or thinking of recovery and are entrepreneurs. And then we're going to be releasing a full episode around money on that Friday with Lila and I. So make sure to tune into that. I wanted to give you the heads up. And then otherwise, we do have the wonderful code out there. If you are the person who is always telling your friends about doing this work, which I know many of you do, you can do the referral where you give $20 and you make $20 now. So at least you're making money off of it. You can find that link below. And do make sure to sign up for the newsletter for a chance to win a lifetime membership to the pathway. Let's get into today's episode. So what you are going to listen to today was the very second podcast I've ever been on with the Almost 30 Girls. You have heard them on this podcast. They were, I think, the fourth episode, if you go way back, and they really talk about how they became successful podcasters, literally starting in a closet and working shitty jobs. So if you're looking for true expanders and you're curious about starting a podcast, make sure to go back and listen to that episode on our podcast. However, as I've been getting the download to reshare, I think these more powerful learning episodes, teaching episodes, this will certainly be on par with the Luke Story Money one that we reshared, which is now our most downloaded episode. So everybody really loved that one. If you are new and haven't tuned in, it's like a couple months back, we re-aired an episode that I was on Luke Story's podcast where I just heavy hit home the energetics of manifesting money. And we use his personal examples and blocks to really highlight and walk through that process. Alexi Wasser's was like a smashing success, Katie Delbout. And so then I got the hit that this was the next one to share with you. And this, as the second podcast I was on, I mean, these girls are amazing. Krista has become a very, very good friend of mine. And Lindsay, I mean, they're incredible ladies, and we cover a ton in this, especially discovering what your limiting beliefs are, manifesting a relationship, and finding expanders. Don't gloss over. You will learn a lot in here. I always think, too, if you've heard something before, repetition makes you actually integrate and act on it. So this is a deep one, a heavy hitter. You're going to learn a lot. If you are inspired after this to do this work, make sure to use the code JOURNEY, all caps, JOURNEY, for a month free off your year membership or 10% off of an a la carte product. Let's go.
So yeah, I would love to get into kind of like how you started to really fine tune that process of manifesting. You mentioned the lists, but is it different every time? Is it like,
well,
specific?
So I'll talk about sort of the foundation and fundamentals, how it really is fundamentally different than what exists out there that I'm familiar with. Because most things that are out there, you know, such as the literature that I mentioned before, and I tend to call it pop new age. It's very spiritual bypass. It's like, think in the vortex, get into the vibration, visualize, you know, turn the station happy, laugh, like be positive, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's actually very different than the way that I see manifestation and how it works. I believe that essentially the universe's only intention for us is to grow back into our authentic whole being of what we were supposed to have really harnessed in childhood, which is self-worth and just authenticity. Mm. And so, of course, through pain and shame and all the things we can go through. And to me, pain and shame, it can be very small or very big. It doesn't have to be sexual trauma. It can be the third grade teacher who told you you weren't good at singing, and therefore you threw that into your shadow and you shrink and you're small in that place. So I believe through the pain and shame and all of the whatever we've experienced in our life, we tend to create limiting beliefs, right, that exist in our subconscious. And so I'm very subconscious based in my work. And so I think all of that stuff lives in our limbic subconscious brain. And that's actually the place we project from our beliefs. So I don't believe that it's our thoughts that attract things into our life. I believe it's our beliefs, especially those limiting self-worth beliefs. And so my process is all about, and sort of the formula, how it differs immensely is that I don't think that you can visualize and have things come to you, because I believe that once we create our subconscious mind, it has sort of a structure of belief around it. And if, let's say, you know, someone's their calling in authenticity is to be an artist, and they grew up with two banking parents who always said art's a hobby, or they weren't really seen for their art, or they never experienced or watched anybody as a successful artist, they don't have an expansion around that. So therefore, they have to actually go through, and it's simple psychology, mirror neurons, and expand through watching other people who they relate to. I think that's how we all learn as a society and a village. When we can identify what, you know, we recognize of ourselves and someone else, we tend to expand a lot quicker. So that's one really big element that's actually really fundamental in my process, is that it's not about visualizing and seeing yourself do the thing. You need to literally go out and see and show your subconscious what's possible through your expanders. So that's one element of it that's very different. And then another element that's very different is I believe that we receive lessons and tests from the universe, which once I figured that out for myself, boy, did manifestation become a lot quicker for me. And that's something that nobody ever talks about. So because the universe, in my opinion, and what I teach, its only objective is for us to grow into that authentic, powerful, whole self and project from that state of being, it's always constantly sending us things into our life to mirror where we're small in order for us to recognize, take accountability, and shift that littleness about us. So therefore, we have to project bigger. And so what that looks like, I think that anything that comes into your life is just a lesson. I don't really see things like love and friendship, and I don't think anyone's your enemy or your lover or your friend. Everyone's your teacher, right? So when you take all of that off and you just have the essence and the human experience and you're just seeing the energy of things, usually something's bigger or smaller or praying. And once you find that balance, that's when you connect with your manifestation. So taking that back a little bit, let's say that there's a friend, there's a woman, and I think this is very common for some women, so I'll just use this because it feels like it's a universal example. But let's take the friend who's always dating the emotionally unavailable men, and that's all just because in her shadow and her belief system, she's unworthy for A, B, C, and D. So the universe will keep sending her the same type of experience in a different body. That all that's happening each time, it's just an opportunity to see that mirror and go and shift those limiting beliefs. However, once you do that, it's important to pass the next test because you are going to be offered the same experience again. And so this is where I become really pivotal in the process with my clients to be like, that's absolutely a test. You have to turn that down. And when you do, you create what I call situational magnetism. You become very magnetic. So it's like after a breakup or you leave that shitty job, and the universe loves that because it thinks you're stepping higher into your worth, into your wholeness. Therefore, it'll start to send you things to guide you along the way, little gifts, you know. So the lessons and test portion, once you start to really understand that in your or in someone's process, my client's process, it becomes so quick and easy to recognize and to turn down anything that's not serving us. And that speeds up this process a lot quicker. So there's three elements that kind of mean the world. In manifestation, it's expanding your belief system in order to create that space. The second is unblocking. So what I mean by that is going into the subconscious and really reprogramming those limiting beliefs. That's what's going to have you project from a different state of worthiness, especially if you can find the root of what's been blocking or attracting in what you don't want. After that point, it's all about passing the tests that are going to come to you. And once that happens, bam, you align with what you're manifesting, essentially.
For the going into your, this is what I always have a problem with, and it's just like a personal thing. Mm-hmm. How, like, sometimes I'm like, what are my limiting beliefs? You know, mm-hmm. I feel like I have a good understanding of them, but I'm like, isn't everything my limiting, you know? Mm-hmm, like, yeah. Maybe I have them more of some and less than others, but how do we figure out what those are?
So there's so many ways to go about it, but my favorite just generally is to look at patterns in your life that are continuing to show up that don't make you feel good. So let's say that you keep having the same argument with different people, or, you know, a great example for women that I think they can relate to is, let's say you have drama with similar types of women over and over. And then we can start to look from there and examine why you're attracting that in. You know, were you enmeshed with your mom? So anytime drama pops up with a woman, you want to run. I mean, there's so many elements that are psychologically based at that point that we can kind of detect. But the very first start of awareness is looking at what doesn't feel good in your life. Because I believe that everything outside of us is a reflection of something we're projecting from our subconscious. So if we can start identifying the awareness of what doesn't feel good, especially seeing how it's existing in patterns in different areas of our lives, because one thing is always attached to another. So if it's happening in love, it's happening in some way with money. You know, if we're small in love in one way and being kind of like bullied or taken advantage of or not respected, we're usually having that happen in our finances as well. Mm-hmm. So when we can start to recognize that, that's what the work comes, or my work comes in with my clients, where I'm like, you're going to journal that out until you find the root. What did that parallel, you know, in parenting? Were you being treated that way? Or did your parents not, you know, help you garner a really healthy sense of self-worth around that because they didn't have it? They had a gap in it. So once we figure that out, it's super easy to go into the subconscious mind and start reprogramming that. And another way that I work with my clients is I just take them under and I just ask them questions from a very hypnotic place and get the truth right away. Yeah. And usually the subconscious will show you really quickly, you know, so it's like if I'll take them somewhere, I'll be like, you know, it'll be them at six and it's the girl in school that didn't let them play with the group because they just didn't have enough money or they weren't cool enough. And then, you know, I'll ask them, where did they learn that they weren't cool enough if they didn't have enough money? And really quickly, they'll find the memory to attach to that. And once we have that root, it's super simple to start reprogramming it. So there's a lot of ways to start identifying with that. And that's sort of the gift of, there's two ways I go about it. It's like if we work in person, it happens really quickly and really fast, or over Skype or, you know, anything. But because there's so much demand versus the supply of spaces I have available, and I tend to give a lot of homework to my clients, this one's much more detailed to manifestation. Like, were you seen? Were you actually consciously wanted? And so through that experience, they go through and they have tons of exercises and what I call deep imaginings. It's my version of sort of hypnosis. It's kind of very different than other hypnosis. And so they go through all of that and they get this self exploration that's kind of equatable to what we would do in session. And then they start to learn tools about how they can reprogram those roots that they've figured out just to speed up their process. So it's like, so much of this is about the homework and the shifting self. Doing that will just make you a more magnetic human who cares what you want on the planet. So that's sort of my approach to the awareness.
So if you're getting tested and you keep getting the same thing that's not working for you, so you're saying it's a matter of, I mean, I think everyone subconsciously knows, or maybe it's consciously knows. I don't know which one that is actually.
It's unconscious. Yeah, subconscious.
But
unconscious.
I think, so you're saying you have to say no to it. Mm-hmm. And how would you in that moment, is it just the act of saying no and knowing how you feel after you say no, that's the power and that's what would pull you forward to kind of manifest the next level of things that should be coming to you?
So this is a great question, because when we're communicating with the universe, I believe that this process and everything in the world is just simple energetics, right? Mm-hmm. So the act of actually saying no, the sound current of it, I guess that's important, yeah, if that feels like it's the important process. But what's much more important is having an energetic clearness of no. So a great example is, and I'll go back to relationships. I love
like
using
burn
them.
Down.
I'm like, I'm attracting the wrong people because I don't say no.
And that's for women especially, you know? Very, very common.
It's like, I know what I deserve, but I don't say no to it.
Hugely. Yeah, and that's just a self-worth reflection. And it's also not have learned the tools of how to have boundaries or consciously communicate or to just energetically communicate. Like, that's not happening anymore. So there's a few layers to answer this. Number one, the energetics of no are far more important than the actual, you know, sound current of saying no. And so what I mean by that is, let's take the relationship aspect again. Let's take the woman, I have this a lot in my practice, where it'll be the woman who thinks this guy is the one that's holding space in their life. I mean, this, and I think, you know, have we all been there at mm-hmm. some point where he's just not that into you?
Mm-hmm. not me, but, you know, yeah. people, they've told me about it.
So let's take that woman, because I have a lot of clients who will be in that position. And then she finally gets the courage to say, that's it. We're no longer seeing each other. But then she's still holding space for that person in her life. Like, they're still hanging out, or they're still energetically intertwined. She hasn't fully cut off or communicated to the universe on an energetic level that I'm not taking this shit anymore. And I don't mean that there's anything wrong with him. The only reason why she attracted this is there's a low self-worth somewhere inside of her, a belief that she's not worthy of having a full committed experience with who she wants. And there's many beliefs, I'm sure, attached to that. So the energetics of actually really fully cutting it off create magnetism far quicker, because that's you truly committing on an energetic level to know. And then the other aspect of it, to stop recurring the attraction from coming through,
make it stop.
Is to have to get down and find the root of why you feel unlovable in that dynamic and situation, what it's representing, the trigger of unlovability, because that's mm-hmm. where your limiting belief will be, and then to go down into the unconscious and start to reprogram that until you no longer project from that state of being.
Yeah. It's fucked up because I think I'm lovable.
You're lovable. On a conscious level.
So I'm like, what the fuck? I think there's something wrong with them, but I do, because the common denominator in recent, yeah, like interactions is me.
Yeah.
I do have to go deeper and figure out what that is.
And here's the beauty of that. You just brought up something that I think any confident woman could use as a band-aid, right? Like, I think all three of us in this room are confident women. Mm-hmm. We feel bright, we feel lovable, but there is something down there that exists that we're not even accessing in this conscious beta state that you're not even aware of that's living down there. And then it's so fascinating once you kind of connect all the dots to be like, fuck, I really guess I didn't feel lovable about that. And it'll hit you. And it's usually really powerful once you figure it out. And then it's just simple reprogramming and simple passing tests, and it will stop. And the beauty of that too, going back to reprogramming, I've had this happen so many times. I actually had this happen within the last year. And I had a recurring issue with a few women who I love dearly, but the energetics were off. I was smaller and there was a larger energetic gap of being preyed on in a way. And I think that's just how simple energy and physics work. Where there's space, space will fill it. I believe where we're little, we'll be preyed on. And that's actually a gift. It's the universe being like, you can grow and not, there will be a balance. So once I figured out and took accountability in me and got down to what inside of me was attracting that experience, it was so clear. And when I did the work to reprogram it, I didn't even have to have a conversation with any of these women. And our dynamic fully shifted and fully came back around into complete respect, admiration, and balance. So the beauty of this self-work and this self-dive in and figuring out what it is about us that's actually attracting every experience in our life is so powerful. But the first step of that is even just being humble enough, chiseling away at our ego enough to be like, I do have unlovability down there because I'm a human being and I went through experiences that were painful. So every single one of us absolutely has that. And if we can all get on the same playing field of that humbleness of whatever pain in me is the same pain in everybody else, once we can just open up to that realm that we are co-creating with the universe and our beliefs are what are attracting our experiences in and what we create in our lives, that's number one of awareness. And then number two is being open enough to go and self-explore to figure out what that is. Like the world is your oyster. It's endless if you're just open to that. And it took me a really long place to get there because I was so controlling. My sense of safety was having control of knowing how confident I was. And at the end of the day, we're all just these little humans that in the human experience that all carry on a subconscious level some forms of unlovability.
With the women, what was it? So what was it that you did? Like, did you recognize that you were feeling small and their energy was kind of preying on you? And then, then what?
So with this specific experience, because I've actually had the most trouble with women in my life, mm-hmm. and not in a super dramatic way because I'm incredibly unconfrontational or non-confrontational. So for me, my big thing, I'm very Aquarian about it. As soon as I sense drama, I'll be like, oh, and distance, mm-hmm. and just retreat. And that's not crazy either. Simple psychology. My mom's an alcoholic and we were really enmeshed when we were little. She was little too. She was 18. So we were really little. And so what enmeshment means versus abandonment is enmeshment's when your parents required you to fill their needs for them. Whereas abandonment is when they weren't filling your needs. And I had the dichotomy. And she just didn't know any better. She was raised in a very similar environment of chaos. So women who tend to have dealt with enmeshment with their moms are very much to feel trapped when something like that happens with another woman. And so they'll just retreat, walk away, cut them off. And so that tended to be the model that I was attracting, because in order to be whole and authentic and loving and open-hearted, I needed to somehow work through that. So it kept coming in, and it's nothing to do with any of these women I experienced it with. It's literally all to do with me. And so in this particular experience within the last year, what I was sensing, and I could be wrong, but I started to sense that I
that my level and rise in success wasn't feeling good for them. And so there was a preying on. I wasn't getting the support that I was giving. Not that I require that at all, but I'm so sensitive that I could feel it right away. So it was a lot of that. It felt not mean girls, but it just felt bad. It felt kind of not good and gross in a way. And so I had to really get down there and figure it out. And when I finally got down and I connected the dots and I realized that my aunt, and again, not her problem, or it's not her issue, she was raised this way, but I remember when I was young, this is my mom's sister, who I just thought was a god growing up. She was so beautiful. Everybody thought she was so beautiful. And in my family growing up, that's the only thing you were ever valued for was beauty, not education, nothing else. And we're a bunch of beautiful women. So it's a problem. Mm-hmm. And so... Mm-hmm. There was always an underline, which was spoken about with my mom, but she was very jealous of me. And so, especially around her daughter. And so she would do a lot of things to make me feel really small. You know, I remember one time that we were going to this water park and I didn't have a bathing suit and she went to buy one and it didn't have a double layer. And it was like right when I had boobs and things happening. And so right when I would get wet, you could see everything. And I felt so much shame and I could see it for her. It was a joyful experience, or that's what I perceived. And so things like that from literally the get-go on, and then she mellowed out as I got older. But I realized with her, I was having the same pattern as these other women. It was like a prey on when I was down and they were up. And so what I did is I shrunk when I was little, because for me, it just felt painful and like I was doing something wrong. And so that became a limiting belief for me. And the real one that I connected to was that I'm not worth it for her love. Like I'm just unlovable for her. Which actually had nothing to do with me. I was just a kid. It was, mm-hmm. you know, her own story playing out. So once I was able to go through and heal that and heal where I felt that everywhere, the dynamics with those women completely, entirely changed. They just don't exist anymore because the energy got bigger. And so we're in alignment, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. It's almost like you're owning, you know, your truth and like your light. Totally. And I do, I mean, I see that all the time with women or even just people in general. If someone is weak, quote unquote, I can't find a better word for it, but if someone is weak in a situation and you're with a bunch of very like strong energies, they pick on that. Yeah. You know what I mean? The person
that's weak. Simple energy.
It's simple. Yeah. And you see it all the time. And it's such a, it's like human pack mentality.
Yeah. Survival of the fittest and what we've been programmed. It's just unconscious behavior. Mm-hmm. That's all. And not in a, you're less than unconscious way. It's just us being unconscious, not feeling like we're all one, we're all connected. So that level of unconsciousness, which most of the society lives in, you know, and we're all trying to find some sense, hopefully, of more consciousness. Well, mm-hmm. I don't think we all are, but
yeah,
eventually, hopefully.
Not all of us.
So your awareness of that limiting belief, you said you didn't have to have a conversation with them. It just totally shifted the energy.
Completely and entirely.
Like, I feel like it's just a common maybe imbalance that people experience in friend groups or in family dynamics. So can you just like kind of walk us through maybe like your first interaction with them where you came at it from a different place? Like,
yeah. So what's so interesting, you learn my formula. And then you really learn the techniques of how to gain awareness of where you're small and how to reprogram it and my whole process around that. So that's going on right now. And why that's so beautiful is because when we do all the reprogramming that we're consciously aware of, and I think that's an ever, you know, ongoing process, but when we do that, it's so crazy how the world starts to just show up differently to you. In a matter of weeks, it starts happening. It's wild. So it's, you know, you'll start to have bosses who were terrible to you who just treat you fine now. It's just crazy. It's like a looking glass. That's how magical it is when we reprogram our own smallness. And that's where a lot of self-help lost me along the way, because I've tried, you name it, and I've done it, which I think a lot of us in this room probably have because it's an interest, and nothing was that powerful. But when I started to see accountability going through myself, finding that and what about me attracted it and reprogramming it, I was like, whoa, it was crazy. So then I started to guinea pig it out for about a year to about five or six clients of mine. And then, you know, I had them guinea pig it while watching my most magnetic clients, which were about five or six, to see what about them. Literally, these clients at the drop of a hat they'll be like, I want to be featured in Vogue, and bam, Vogue will get into, you know, it's like the drop of the hat. They're so magnetic. And I started to look at the qualities that made them so magnetic, where they were projecting from. And then I had the guinea pigs start to reprogram those things into themselves and start to document their experiences in the world and what was showing up and what they were manifesting. And then I was like, whoa, everyone can do this. It's crazy. Your world starts to just transform. So with these particular women, nothing at all changed. They started to come back into my life a lot more, reaching out, supporting me, you know, sending me stuff that I believe in you. I love what you're doing. I would run into them out of nowhere. And I think whenever that happens, it's like another form of a test. It's, you know, seeing where you're at with something, or you're on the same wavelength. So you're coming together and just being so cool and so beautiful and open. There was nothing I said or did or changed. They just met me differently at that point, because I was meeting them differently at that point. I was projecting a whole different state of being into the world. So that's like the beauty of this process, especially for people who don't fare well under confrontation, which I think, I believe in conscious communication all the way, but I do have a qualm with it, is I believe only a conscious communicator can communicate with another conscious communicator who can receive it. If another person's not in a state of awareness, or they're not open and humble and loving enough to consciously communicate, you're just talking to a brick wall. So this kind of bypasses that experience. It's, you know, you get to go reprogram what about you they're preying on. And at that point, it's just an energetic shift between you and the world. And even, oh my gosh, it's so crazy. Like the moment I started all of this reprogramming, and I've been doing it for probably about a year and a half, just really testing it on myself and refining and getting deeper. And then it was so crazy, the stuff, because I hit a point about 3 years ago, everything I was manifesting came into fruition. I mean, everything to the T. And I hit this lull, this apathy, where I was like, I don't really want for anything. And I've never had that in my life. And that was actually not a fun experience, because inspiration and the continue to go forward, and I'm not even talking about material items, just like a general inspiration to go greater, that's what drives me. And not having that was so out of control and not exciting or inspiring. So once I did this reprogramming, all of a sudden I had crazy deeper clarity of what I wanted. And then things started to just show up so fast into my world, and they are continuing to, that I actually wanted, which didn't have anything to do with material items. It was actually having to do with, you know, one of the things on my list was I really wanted to start doing podcasts with people, because I thought that that would be a message that could get out greater to people who needed it. And they like, it just avalanched. It's come in. I think I have 4 lined up right now, but stuff has just been
we're the best.
Rolling in. Yes, you're the best.
You guys, by the way, we're the best.
Obviously.
We're going to put this out first. Yes. We got to get on that.
I love it. So I hope that answers it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm quickly interrupting this incredibly expansive episode to talk about Osea, who you got to hear in last week's episode. I love this company. As soon as I got to try it, I was so keen to partner with them. They're incredible. The episode, it took me really getting to speak with them to really get behind their ethos. So it's a family-owned company. The way that it even sort of started to percolate is that the founder's grandmother was the first chiropractic woman in the US, first woman to go to chiropractic school, ended up injuring herself, had a dream one night, she was a seer, that the ocean would heal her. So in midwinter, she went to the Long Island Channel and she swam, and in the matter of months healed herself. And so seaweed's at the foundation of their products. They use very, very clean sourced seaweed right now from Patagonia. And I'm especially obsessed with it at this moment because they have a lot of unscented products that are really high end. So they're, it's really mineral rich, bioavailable because of the seaweed. The packaging is completely non-toxic in glass. It's cruelty free, vegan. And as I said before, a family owned business. I selfishly am obsessed with it because everything comes in travel size. So personally, I'm traveling on the speaking tour because I'm literally traveling from tomorrow until March. I'll be traveling with their mineral vitamin boost and also their hyaluronic acid. You heard me fumble many times saying that on the episode, but I think it's absolute magic, and their brightening serum. So if you are interested in checking out Osea, which you know I don't partner with people often, and if I do, I really believe in their product, they're offering with the code to be magnetic under caps, lowercase, for $10 off your first purchase of $50 or more and free shipping on all US orders over $75. And speaking of Osea, I'm really proud of us for what we have in these gift bags on the speaking tour. I know Los Angeles, we even had people writing in Conscious City Guide being like, can you please send me my gift bag? I didn't get it. That was half the reason why I signed up for the ticket. Our gift bags are so good. So in New York, you can certainly find in your bag, you're going to find a Biosense product. Alexis Smart is generous enough to be donating wholehearted. If you haven't listened to Alexis Smart's episode from back, she's our flower remedy go-to girl. These are so powerful. Go listen to that episode. Sun Potion will be putting in their Ashea butter. And my favorite go-to chapstick that I use is the Evan Healy Whipped Shea Butter for lips. It's my favorite because it's unscented and it works so well. Nucifer, this is the best one. I mean, not best, but this is pretty great. Nucifer is going to be putting in full size, like the actual balm full size in those bags. And then we have Face Mist from Herbivore coming in. Ursa Major has a travel tonic. You're going to get Koyuchi face cloths and them, a CBD elixir drink with Alo Yoga giving you a yoga membership. And Cora is going to be gifting tampons and pads. They're a wonderful, wonderful women's line. You're also going to get some Osea, speaking of Osea, face wash and kombucha. So you also have the cleansing starter kits from Crude. And then I think that wraps it up. And I know they're going to be a mixed bag. So they're mixing up how they do the things. This is as much as I know so far, but I'm really proud of these. If I don't know, I've been so proud of this tour in general, but this is pretty, pretty great. And we've been very exclusive and we haven't said yes to one thing that I don't use or totally believe in. And so far they're really beautiful, heavy hitting products. If you haven't gotten to try, that will be pretty exciting. Now back to the episode.
What are some examples of things that you've like manifested? Can you tell us like a manifestation story of something? Yes.
Oh my gosh. So some like the key ones that I always love talking about, because it's when I went, whoa, I'm powerful. I don't know if this is just me, but I'm powerful. But I had been living in, I think it was like a $1,600 place. It was super expensive. I had such low self-worth. And at the time I was acting and cocktailing at a comedy club on Sunset that also treated me like shit. That was definitely a pattern, is everywhere I would work, because I had such low self-worth about what I was worthy, not only with money, but with authority and bosses. So at that point, I had a girl that walked in to work one night who said, yeah, I was paying like $1,600 and had no money and all my money was going to rent. Yeah. So this girl walked in and she's a magical unicorn manifester as well. And she's still in my life, but she was like, I did it, guys. I did it. I found the $500 guest house in Laurel Canyon. It's a cabin, bungalow, like everything you'd want. I manifested it. And in my mind, it was my first expander where I was like, what? That's even possible in LA that you can find that? So she was the first. And in my mind, I'm like, she's a unicorn. She always has really incredible things happen to her. So I wrote it off. And then I ended up sort of, you know, quietly for just a moment dating this guy who we went on a date and he was like, yeah, you know, my place is $325 in Echo Park. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Like, that's a thing. And at the time I really had wanted to live in Echo Park and it was already happening. Like
prices were not generous at that. And right now they're just almost as much as Venice in a way. Yeah. So that started to be my second expander. So it opened up the belief that, okay, I guess this is possible that people can find those deals in LA. And then my third one happened to be another guy friend of mine who was in a band, and he and every one of his bandmates had really kismet, or they lived at home but had really kismet great deals on where they lived. And so that was enough for me to feel expanded, where I was like, okay, I'm a powerful person. Anytime I put my mind to it, I can manifest. So I was leaving the Mojave, or I was leaving Las Vegas and driving through the Mojave Desert that on a Sunday, and I started to just list off to the universe because I had heard my third expander, and I was like, tomorrow we're finding our version of this, and it can only be in Echo Park, Laurel Canyon, or Venice, or Topanga. And so I was like listing off the things. I was like,
Encino.
Sorry. Yeah. Definitely not Encino.
You're like, oh, that's my dude.
Yeah. So I started to list off, and it was like Echo Park has to be in the hills. You know, I was like, these places has to be in the hills, white walls. Crazy stuff, internet that I get for free, you know, I mean, just stuff that would really make my life a lot more free. And so I listed these all off. And the next day on Monday, I started to drive around, all around looking. And I was like, no, I can usually feel what it feels like when manifestations are going to come through. And this was before I really knew my process, and like far before. And so I looked all around and I wasn't finding anything. And I was like, what? This has never happened. This is crazy. I usually always can feel and know when that connection's happening. And so when I finally left Laurel Canyon in the evening, I got the ping. I call them like intuitive downloads. I just got a ping that was like, text that guy that you went on that date with that one time. You know, I have no reason to talk to him. We didn't end well. Yeah, I know. And so I text him a year later out of the blue. And I was like, hey, you know, if you ever leave that spot in Echo Park, because I remember the potential I saw in designing it, let me know. I would love to move into it. And he said, I'm actually moving to Chicago in 2 weeks. Here's the landlord's number. And I was like, a $325 apartment in Los Angeles would change my lifestyle 100%. At that point, you know?
Then I'd spend $1,300.
And like, yeah.
At Erewhon.
Exactly. I would be able to buy more Erewhon, which is where all my money goes anyways. Yes. So I ended up getting in touch with the landlord, and it was like dicey. It was between me and these two other groups, but I finally got it. So that was one. And that was a great example because I had just done something, which I can't remember right now, that I had passed a test. So I had magnetism around me. And so a big part of when you're in that, I call it a sort of like a magic dark. It's when you've done all the legwork, you're expanded, you put yourself out there, you've passed all of your tests that you recognize, and you're in the zone of like, okay, I call it the magic dark. It's like the darkest before the dawn. It's when the water recedes and you don't see the water anymore and you think nothing is going to come through, and an avalanche, you know, comes through, or a big wave, a tidal wave will come through. I call that the magic dark. And it tends to always happen. And so my clients always know now. They'll text me, they'll be like, I'm in it. I'm in the magic dark. I can feel it. And I'm like, I do too. You know, it's coming. So right now you have to pass any tests. But a great example was I had done this thing where I had like all these dysfunctional relationships because of the modeling I watched of relationships growing up. And these dysfunctional relationships were usually me being a bitch to guys. Like, it wasn't usually their issue. But that's what I watched from my mom. And so then I hit like a big lesson from the universe, and I got my heart really broken. And I mean, my whole course of my life changed after that heartbreak. It was so, it knocked away any self-confidence I had. I mean, it took it all out of me. And so for 2 years, I was consciously single, but, you know, stepping into my power as a woman and dating and learning what that meant, which was a huge key in helping me learn this formula as well, that anytime you're in your power, you're so magnetic. Mm-hmm. Which
that is the damn truth.
It is. And no book teaches you that. They're like, be in the vortex, be positive. And it's like, no, fuck that. When you have self-worth, that's when you finally.
After every breakup, I would always be killing the game.
Killing it. Yeah. Especially one that you left, or that left you because it wasn't serving you. If that's the case, you kill it, because you have a magnetism about you. You're in your power. And so then I got into this relationship, and we're actually still good friends today. And he's a client of mine, but it was like his, you know, childhood trauma, my childhood trauma attracted each other. And it, within 6 months, we were just fighting and we're like, this won't work, but I love you and you're so amazing. And I saw for the first time what I really did want versus what I didn't want, and that I could consciously really create that. And so I made a list and I started to call in, and it was like long blonde surfer hair, artist, you know, I was 25. So it was like all this. Yeah.
You're like sweet baby band blues. That we can live in. Yeah. Sweet.
You know, and I even put on, I was like European mom, photographer, astrological signs that it could be. And so when I broke up with this person I had been talking about, I was at that point cocktailing at a place on Sunset called Thirsty Crow. And so I walk in there, and that night a guy walks in and he like starts talking to me, and he's all the things on my list, like speaks French, his mom's Parisian, you know, all this stuff. And he's such a wonderful soul. But in that moment, I was like, oh my God, this is my list is right here. And it took us a moment because I really had to pass some tests and I had to see if he was a test too. And at the point in which I realized, it was like, he's not the test, he's fully my manifestation, like to the T, the full list. I was like, okay, this does work. Anytime I step into my power, I'm expanded to know that they exist and that I pass the lessons and tests around it, my manifestations will show up. Period. Like it just happens. But at that point, I didn't realize that there was such a thing as limiting beliefs, you know, trapped in your stuff, because you can get all the superficial elements of what you want just having the formula. That can pretty much help you if you're credible of like superficially stepping into your power, which tends to just mean ego, just like powerful, you know, you can definitely manifest on a very superficial level. You can get the bags and you want and the partners and the houses and the things. But when we start to look at the real dynamics that make us happy and unhappy on a daily basis, i.e. things that we're attracting in that just don't feel good or dynamics that don't feel good, that's when I started to go like, wait, the partner I called in is here, but we're having issues. And that's where I really started to put the pieces together, where I'm like, this is always going to be a process of, it's just our process of growing into wholeness. That's all this is. That's all we're on the planet for, and to serve. I believe those two things. That's what we're here for. And so that's when I really started to put the pieces together of like limiting beliefs, and that we actually don't manifest. I knew we didn't manifest from our thoughts once I threw away all of the old literature and started to look at my processes. Like, this doesn't happen. Like, I think in such polarity at all times that if everything I was thinking was showing up from negative to bad, my life would be crazy on a daily basis, you know? So it's like, it's not our thoughts. It's definitely not that. And then I knew it's more of our beliefs, but I didn't understand until I started to see when I would have the manifestation really show up and embody my list, but we still had issues. I was like, ah, yes, it's so much more energetic and finite than that. Like, in order for us to have true happiness, we need to get down there and reprogram those to just project from complete magnetism, which all complete magnetism is just, it's like a fully owned human. It's fully owning your shadow. It's being humble. It's being completely loving. It's not judging. It's all the shit that we know from 5,000 years of what conscious behavior is. But there's one thing to fake that on a conscious level, and there's another to subconsciously reprogram so you just naturally exist that way. And so that's what I kind of figured out. So this has been a process now for, I think for me, I'm 32 now, and I started to really put the pieces together individually for myself at 25. So it's been a 7-year process to be like, yeah, this is
yeah, that's
it's a full thing.
That's like the key there.
Was the surfer guy a no-go? It was just...
Oh, and so, yeah.
Can we still find him at the Crow? Yes,
please go. That's so funny. We were together for 6 years.
Yeah, we were.
Or 5.5, almost 6 years. And he is such a magical, magical human being. He is the most beautiful, kind, talented artist on the planet. But because this is the beauty of manifestation, we come from very similar backgrounds and dynamics in a way. You know, he struggled with alcoholism in his family, and I did too. And there's things there that made us both not able to fully love completely, vulnerably, and honest, and commit all of the way. And I think as women do, I started really investigating myself and going deep and doing work and consciously wanting to make changes, and it wasn't really where he's at. His process is through art, and just it's just different than mine. And he at some point definitely told me that he never really wanted to get married or have kids, that there was a big fear around that for him. Mm-hmm. And around 30, I had to truly honor that and be like, I don't think that's happening. And what was really hard is that his mom is like my biggest mentor, best friend. I mean, just the most, like my mom, she's mm-hmm. so magical that it was really hard to leave that situation. But at some point I was like, I do want a family and I do want children. And we were at the space too, where I think you can't really go deep in intimacy unless two people are really willing to look at their stuff and really get vulnerable. And so we hit a place where it was kind of a roommate, brother-sister dynamic, though there was a lot of respect. We just didn't have that spark. So finally, once I let that go, I already had my list. I had already called in my person in a way, because I just knew it was about a year and a half where I was like, I don't think like he's changing on this one. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's just going to wake up yeah. and be like, I want to do all the things. Yeah. So once I finally left, I had 6 weeks that I was single, and I felt
6 weeks too long.
She's moving out the whole time. I know, literally.
I swear not. So I had 6 weeks, and I had to really, and I was so keen on my manifestation process at this point. It was like the last, I don't know, the last, you know, nail in the coffin, where I was like, okay, when I do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, it always happens. Mm. And so I had made my list, and I had two tests come along, and I had done so much work in that relationship and so much after now. But I had expanded so much. I wanted such different things. And it was so clear that I was like, this person's going to come quickly. I can just feel it. I know that it's going to happen. I can always sense that with manifestations. And so I had two big tests come through. And I mean, they were very hard to read. I mean, very hard to read. It's like, if I didn't know my process, I would have been one of those girls where it's like, that'll change. That's not loud. That won't get louder. But so even though they were like the shiniest dangling carrots, I was like, I'm not fucking around here, universe. And I was like, no. And so after the second one, and I believe this with the universe so wholeheartedly, especially with my women who are calling in relationships, which is kind of my forte. And so I'm always like, yeah, you can be on apps and you can do all of that, but 95% of the time, usually the universe will part the waters to have you guys meet in person. But they do happen sometimes on the apps. Mm-hmm. So with me and my current fiance, what happened was...
Hear that guy's fiance. Okay. So happy ending.
And it's not a perfect relationship. Again, like everything, you just have to continually, I think, do the work. So what happened was an old friend of mine who we had lost touch, she had gotten back in touch recently, and we had dinner one night. And then she invited me to a barbecue of hers a few weeks later. And that's where I met him. He was there. So the universe does always clear the water or parts the ways for you guys to connect. And then I ended up actually not seeing her for quite a bit after that. So it was like the perfect little opening.
How'd you know he wasn't a test?
Oh, it was so clear, right? Mm-hmm. And there were things that I definitely, because he wasn't what I thought would show up, even though he was way more special than what I was calling in. I mean, I was calling in much older and just, you know, all these things. But once I met him, I was like, oh my God. And once I really knew him after a couple of dates, it was like, not really knew him, mm-hmm. but I could kind of gather more. I was like, whoa, you're my whole list. You're the whole thing. And it was just very clear. And so I tell people a lot, when it's the person, it's just so easy. It's just so simple. And I'm sure you probably experienced that in the beginning. There isn't drama. And it's just like, there isn't ego. It's just such a
just
connection.
Just like moving forward.
That's it. It's just natural.
You just like move forward without any like reckless. You're just like, eyes on the prize. Like, it's like you just do, you just act, you don't think,
you
just
don't think. I mean, I definitely had like a crazy girl dating mindset going on. I was like, but you know, it was so effortless for both of us in a lot of ways.
Love that. Congrats.
Thank you.
I want to just touch on quickly the expander thing. Mm-hmm. I think that is such a great I've never thought about, you know, when you talk about expander, I think about living in LA, mm-hmm. and I kind of think about being surrounded like people like you,
yeah.
like-minded, but also not like-minded. Do you know what I mean? Like doing things that, like, I've just discovered living here, so many things that I admire in people and so many careers that I admire that I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that was possible. Mm-hmm. And just being around people like this has expanded my consciousness to know that certain things are possible or true,
totally.
Or that I can do certain things. So I think that is like such a good takeaway for people listening to the podcast to think about situations, people, places, or things that can help you or be expanders for you, you know, going to groups, going to meetups, listening to podcasts to me, honestly, is a great expander.
Cute.
But finding those things to help you kind of move to the next level so it doesn't need to feel so forced, like, okay, what do I need to do to get to the next level? Just finding places or opportunities that you think are going to be expanders and then exploring those.
And you really hit it on the nose because people will always say, like, who are my expanders? I don't know. And a lot of the work I'll do, I'll find it out from them subconsciously in the session. It comes to them right away. Right. But there are a few really beautiful things to note on that. And what you said is so right. And a lot of expanders for people tend to actually be in the public eye in some capacity, because the only thing we're doing when we admire someone else is it's all shadow work. We're just projecting onto them what we recognize as possible in us. That's all that's happening. And so once they know their expander, especially if it's, you know, like someone in the public eye, the first thing I'll have them do for the full week, I'm like, go and read every interview, listen to every podcast, find out everything you can on them, because you'll start to find the parallels really quickly. And the more that your subconscious recognizes that you guys are similar, the quicker it believes that something's possible for you as well. So that's one really great note that you just like intuitively already know. And then another element that's really important, and this is like mentorship 101, but honestly, the eight people, the way our brain works and the retinas just attach to our brain, it's our first processor. So who we surround ourselves with, the top eight people that we do, we will always, if we get out of our own way with limiting beliefs, we will just naturally gravitate into having what they have. It's completely effortless energy that happens. So surround yourself around expanders. Like, mm-hmm. you do that and you get rid of your limiting beliefs. So if you're expanding and getting rid of your limiting beliefs, you're naturally going to hit the marks of the people you're around, and they will with you as well. The only thing that could stop you from hitting those marks are all of those beautiful little beliefs in your subconscious that are like, well, of course, I mean, they come from money or they have this or that. All that's talking when that's happening is low self-worth. So the more that you grow those limiting beliefs, that unlivability, the bridge actually gets way smaller for expanding. Because you feel in your power, you'll start to see really quickly that what somebody else has is very possible for you, that you deserve a similar situation in your own authentic way. So that's a huge element to expanders, is just surround yourself around them, you know? And I always tell people to go pick up aspects of expanders. Again, going back to relationships, relationships are like the easiest, but going back to relationships, if the relationship you desire or the job you desire, go find elements of it. So it doesn't, you know, I'll be like, look around, you probably have friends that are already in a relationship that you desire, because your subconscious is still operating on the belief system of the parental modeling you grew up with. That's how prehistoric subconscious is. So, and some will be like, well, I don't love every aspect of the relationship. And I'm like, look at the aspects that you do like. Is it the communication? And then just witness them in communication. Our brains are so savvy that it right away will snap for us that, oh, A, B communicates with, you know, A communicates with B, and that's how C happens. Okay, cool. So we just subconsciously now are showing our unconscious mind what should be happening, what we need. another great element are reading books, honestly. Reading books about how things should happen. That won't do it all until you see it in person, but it's an amazing, I always say expansion can happen in threes. Really, that's like the most profound. And it kind of goes back to my story of manifesting the apartment. It took a third person for me to go, okay, this is definitely possible in LA. And then another great way for expanders, especially if it's homes or if it's more on the materialistic plane, relationships, you know, more material, flesh, watching TV and movies and stuff like that are incredible expanders. Why? Because you're in a hypnotic state while you're watching it. You go into alpha. So your subconscious is forward and you can't tell the difference between what's happening and what isn't happening, if it's real or not. So if, like, a great example is myself included, if you've ever had this like character on TV that you're just... You look and you go, am I supposed to meet this person in life and be with them? Like that crazy connection.
Yes.
Usually not. Yes. You're not. But all that's happening.
Oh my God. It's happening. Me and Justin Timberlake of NSYNC. I was like,
duh.
Oh my God.
Right?
Yeah.
So all that was happening then is that you were projecting onto him. It was a part of you, aspects of what your soul wanted was being projected onto him. So in that moment, I mean, is there anything about your partner that's, or partners you've been in the past that are similar to Justin Timberlake when you break away, mm-hmm. like that he's famous and has
for
money,
sure.
like physical
aspects.
They're
all famous, they have money.
Yeah.
Pretty much those.
They can dance well yeah. or whatever.
Great bleached curly hair.
Yeah. So, you know, all that was happening with him, he was just serving as your first expander. Mm. And so, like, even for me, a great example of this actually goes back to even when I was in my last relationship and at the tail end of it, season two of Girls, Christopher Abbott, the character mm-hmm. of Marnie's guy, right?
Yeah.
And that's when he has like the startup and
the swag now.
The swag before the heroin,
yeah.
you know?
Like, yeah, before the heroin, but.
Oh my God.
But like season two, he was
so. He does
so,
have swag.
Uh-huh. He does. Yes. And I had always called in, you know, well, none of the guys I've dated look the same because I'm an Aquarius. We like worlds. But when I was calling in my future partner, the one I'm with now, it was like blonde, long hair again, you know, mm-hmm. things that I was still operating on from before. But if I look back to that season, I remember watching and going like, that's what I want. I want.
Oh, yeah.
I was just so into the fact that he was like working in a startup, like had something going on, was just, you know, was really in his power creatively and whatever. So there was that. And then like right towards the end of my breakup, I got so into Peaky Blinders. Did you guys ever?
No.
Okay.
No.
This is incredibly embarrassing, but I think it actually shows expander as well. And quite a handful of my girlfriends have felt the same way about this, but Cillian Murphy's character in it, I was like, okay, I don't know if Cillian Murphy and I are supposed to, I mean, he's been married for 14
Isn't
years.
It fun when you Google them? You're like, are they married? Do they have kids?
Yeah.
How old are they?
Yeah, and it's like, oh, like he's really married and with kids. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Damn, they're happy. Yeah. All right.
They're probably going to be together forever. But no, what all that was happening with his character was I was so, and I think every woman, but I was so intrigued by the darkness, but he was so soft with only the one woman that he loved, and
yes.
he was powerful mm-hmm. and dark in his hair and complexion. So it was so fascinating that once I had my current partner show up, he like has a dark background and is when he was a kid, he was like a bad boy. And now he has a startup that's successful and he's dark. And it's like, duh, all I was doing, oh, wow. my soul was just projecting the next thing that I wanted and expanding through it. So TV and movies can be an amazing way to do it because you're already in a hypnotic state.
Love that.
Yeah. So many ways to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys should
crazy.
Talk. I'm like, No,
they're over it.
No, I don't need to talk. I'm taking
they
it
don't
in.
Come here
I'm about to walk out of here and friggin'.
I know. I want to be your client.
Actually, I'm going to hire
honestly.
You.
No, oh, we should I'm definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely work yes. together.
I want you to hypnotize me and see what I say. Like, I want
we'll record
fun.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be a session.
What's coming up for you?
Yeah.
You're blown up. I mean, you have blown up, but I feel like I'm hearing
you're manifesting
more and
things
more.
Are,
what are you manifesting? Yeah.
You know, what's so interesting was this year was the first year I sat down and I was like, you know, it was back to, I had manifested everything and I was like, what's my new year intention? What do I, because I don't do resolutions. I think that's the problem, but I wasn't resolving, I was intending. So I was like, what is it? And I was like, wow, all I want this year is just to be of service as much as I should be. And it was so beautiful for the first time to not want anything on the material plane. Or it was just like, universe, I'm yours. You do what you want with me. Take me where you want to go. I'm just here for you and I'm enjoying the ride. And this is the thing I'm the most geeky about. So that was it. And so what that started to look like, it was like, okay, I want to, you know, get the message out louder. What does that look like? And I really resonate with podcasts. So that was one of the first things that came to mind. And then that's all, you know, has shown up and with such amazing people, you know, you guys. And so then press has really started to roll in. But for me, it's still geeking out of like, okay, like, my biggest intention always when I'm sitting down is like, I want to hack manifestation. Like that's, I guess that's where I'm, you know, like all the other Tim Ferriss and the people in the world. But I'm like, manifestation to me is about 15% spirituality. And then the rest is psychology. And the rest is just getting into ourselves and becoming conscious and shifting that. So for me, and at the end of the day, manifestation is really just energetics. And I tend to see that really well and feel it really well of like, if you do this, that will show up. This is what will happen. And so all I'm trying to put into the world and express and make tangible for people is how to do that in step-by-step easy scenarios and ways so they can harness it for themselves and do it in the world. That's like, that's it. It just lights me up.
Thank you. I love what you said about I am here for you, for the universe.
Oh,
like, just
yeah.
saying like I am here for you.
That's it.
I love that.
That feels so powerful.
I'm going to say that
freeing.
Every day.
Do it. It's
I'm
so.
I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Like,
guide
do
me.
What you want. Guide me. I'm here for you.
I'm done controlling. Show me.
Whoa. That is like everything. And not resolving intending with New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
God, that is like.
Also freeing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is
very.
So amazing.
Yeah, for New Year's.
In 2018, I'm going to use that.
Do it. Mm-hmm. And I always am like, what cool skill can I pick up instead
yeah.
of the like dumb thing I'm trying to get
change
away
change that's already, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Thank you. Thanks, Lacey. You're the best.
Yeah, you're
so
the best.
Well,
so everything.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm so grateful.
Oh, we
We're
love
grateful.
You. Thanks,
right, guys,
for listening.
I think there were a lot of takeaway notes in this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And of course, if you have any family members or friends who have been curious about this whole manifestation thing you're up to, I think this is a great one to forward their way. Yeah. And please give us a review if you resonated with it, a 5-star review. It's what moves us to the top and helps us continue to make really, really great content and push this forward. All right. See you next week.